Work-life balance from Kishore Chandiramani. Most of us have wondered at some stage in our lives if we were working too hard or too little, and how much of work would be too much. Some individuals work more than 100 hours a week and still feel relaxed, whereas some others feel a desperate need to slow down and relax even with a 30-hour work schedule. Why is it so? Apart from the obvious physical health issues, the answer may lie in the concept of equanimity, which is being emotionally neutral and calm. Those of us who can maintain equanimity all the time feel relaxed, and working even 100 hours per week would not be a problem. However, those of us who react emotionally to even trivial issues get tired easily and will need to slow down to avoid the detrimental effects of stress. The next logical question would be, is it necessary to slow down to de-stress oneself? And the answer to that would be yes and no. The term work-life balance implies that work is separate from life. I don't know on what grounds we can understand that apart from the time slots. It was easy to understand this concept 20 years ago when work meant one's activities between 9 and 5 on weekdays, and life was seen as activities during the rest of the time. Not anymore in 2023. More so after the pandemic and with hybrid working. The second implication is that work sucks you and the life rejuvenates you. This may be true for someone who feels compelled to do things they don't want to do at their workplace, and during the rest of the time they are able to do things they enjoy and feel rejuvenated from. We normally think that work can be soul-crushing and life at home will be relaxing and blissful. However, for some, it may be just the opposite. That is, the work rejuvenates them and life causes stress. How do we understand that? Perhaps for them, family life is more stressful than their work, and work provides an escape from the major life stresses. Or it could be that they never switch off from whatever is there on their minds, irrespective of whether it's a family matter or work-related problem. When they are at work, they are worried about family matters, and when at home, they are constantly thinking about work-related issues. The mind doesn't want to be where the body is. This can be explained further using a model of the doing and the being modes. We are human beings, but have ended up being human doings. All the time we are busy doing things, trying to be more productive, not wanting to waste time. Perhaps related to our parents' diktats, that is, be more focused, be productive, don't waste time, you have to reach somewhere and become somebody, etc. We try to fill the gaps between our activities, even if it's for a few minutes with something productive, such as sending a text message, dropping an email, and tidying things around. So instead of worrying about the work-life balance, we should also try to look at the doing-being balance. Now, let us examine what is the being mode. It's when you are not making a conscious effort to actively create something new in your mind or in the outside world. You can still do things that can be done at the spinal level, things that don't require a mental effort and will not create new emotions, both positive and negative. The activities such as talking to a friend over the phone, watching television, reading a book, listening to music, eating, sex, etc. All these things can create new emotions and therefore should be shunned during the being mode. The activities that will not require doing would be like lazing around, sitting in the garden, doing stretching exercises, meditation, going for a walk, being close to nature, doing DIY in the house that doesn't require effort and emotional engagement. Now, going back to the discussion of work-life balance, if your work-related activities can be done at the spinal level and without emotional reaction, then it's not stressful at all and will be classed as your being mode and not the doing mode. I have come across individuals who tell me that work for them is like child's play and it's managing the family matters that gets the best of them. If your free time involves constant struggle, arguments, high emotions with your family and friends and neighbors, then you are constantly in the doing mode and your mind starts craving for the being mode. That's why some individuals get desperate for the next holiday soon after returning from one. Now let us examine what happens during the doing and the being modes. And for that, we must understand the structure of our psyche. We can understand our mind in terms of the two broad compartments, the ego, which is intellect, and the spirit. It doesn't matter what words we use to describe these compartments, as different people may use different terminologies to describe them. It doesn't matter as long as we understand what we mean by them. I would first describe what ego is. The ego is the part of your mind that is required when you are interacting with the outside world. It's the part of your mind that is judging, feeling, thinking, and reacting because of being in the world. This part is required to lead a normal life as a member of the society we live in. Without this being there, we can't lead a normal life in the world. It's like a car, the computer, the smartphone, all the gadgets and tools that we need every day. As opposed to the ego, we have another part of our mind that can be described as the inner consciousness, the spirit or the soul, the inner observer, etc. In existential terms, this can be described as the being in itself. This is when we connect with ourselves. It's like at the end of the day, we prepare ourselves to go into deep, restful sleep and get under the duvet. We don't need a car or laptop or a smartphone. We don't even need to think about our work-related or domestic problems. We don't want to think about anything that requires effort, no matter how important it is. We put it off for the next day. This connection with our spirit is necessary for healing, growth, replenishment, stress management, and undoing our tiredness. This connection with our spirit can happen even during daytime for short periods of time, during the gaps between our daily activities and between our thoughts, when we are fully present in the moment and not complaining, analyzing, emotionally reacting to things from the past or the future. If your work allows you to switch to the being mode more frequently, then it can't be classed as work in the traditional sense. Many people describe their work as child's play. Writers, artists, and workers have described moments when thoughts and activities flow from them spontaneously without an effort. And such moments can be described as the being mode. However, these very people can have moments when they are struggling to find the right thought or activity, and it should be classed as doing mode. In a similar fashion, a lot of our daily activities outside the work will fall under the category of the doing mode. A good understanding of the doing and the being modes can help us organize our lives better. Philosophers have described the being mode under several categories. Number one, being in itself. Number two, being for itself. Number three, being in the world. Number four, being for the world. Number five, being beyond itself. For philosophers, even when you are not in the doing mode, you are not 100% with yourself. According to Sartre and Heidegger, it's not possible for humans to be 100% within oneself, that is, being in itself. It's only animals who have it. And the desire for a human being to become godlike can also lead one into that state. Heidegger has used the word Dasein. The spelling is D-A-S-E-I-N. Meaning, when the self is aware of the self, and the self cares about self, which is being for itself, and makes sure that it grows and remains healthy. Heidegger also says that this care about others, which is being for the world, also works in the same way and allows the self to grow and remain healthy. However, Sartre takes a different position. For him, being for itself is in contrast with being for others. Our caring for others comes at the cost of our caring for ourselves. Whereas for Heidegger, our caring for others promotes our caring for self. Martin Buber supports Heidegger's position by elaborating this understanding in terms of I, it, and I, thou relationships. Now, discussing the doing and the being modes further, it's important that we understand that doing mode could be an escape into our immersion in the public everyday world, the anonymous world of the they and the them. this everyday consciousness may be different from the Dasein, which is the being mood. There seems to be a contradiction here, as the issue of whether caring for others comes at the cost of caring for oneself or promotes it is still not clear. The important thing to understand here is that if we understand the Dasein as neither a subject nor an object, but always in relation to the world, that is being in the world, then caring for others is caring for self. And if we understand self as a being for the world, then caring for others will come at the cost of self-care. From an existential or spiritual point of view, it's important to understand the nature of the being mood, so that we are able to achieve a desired work-life balance, or we can say ego-spirit balance, or doing-being balance. Thank you. This audio was brought to you from the Emotions Clinic Education and Training Center, Stoke-on-Trent, England.